Welcome to the February 14th, 2014 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hello, everybody. This is Addison Berry, and I am your hostess for today's podcast. And I have with me two fine people, and they speak with a similar accent. Mystery. Okay, no more mystery. I have Lorna Jane Mitchell, who is a PHP and API specialist and a published author. And I also have Joe Fender, who is our developer over here at Drupalize Me. Ha ha. And you may ask, why do I have these people on the podcast? Well, let me tell you why. What we're going to talk about is object-oriented PHP. And so in Drupal 8, we're moving to this object-oriented PHP stuff. And the reason that we're doing that is because that's where PHP has gone to, and that's what modern PHP apps are using when people write software in PHP. Like, it's the new cool way to do things. And what we want to do is talk about what that is in the big picture from the PHP side of things rather than the Drupal side of things. But then also, like, how does that actually, you know, pan out in the Drupal world? What does that mean for the Drupal world? And Lorna Jane is an expert in this stuff, and she's taught about it, and she has written about it, and so we thought it would be really awesome if she would come on and give us this perspective to kind of put things into the bigger picture when it comes to Drupal and PHP. So that's what we're going to be talking about on this podcast, and of course, before I do that, I'm going to do news and events, as I normally do. This will be quick, short, to the point. In terms of videos, we actually have a Web Form Basics series that is running right now. We started that last week. We have more that came out this week, and I think we're going to be finishing up maybe next week. But anyway, Web Form Basics videos are out. And then next Thursday, I'm actually going to be doing an Acquia webinar on Media Module. I've been doing a bunch of videos on Media Module. I did some for the Using Drupal book series that I've been doing, but that covers Media Module 2, and then I did another series to do Media Module 1. And so I'm going to hop on and do a webinar to kind of give an overview of working with media in Drupal 7, and that's next Thursday, February 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern, and there'll be a link in the podcast notes if you want to sign up for that and yada yada and things like that. And then events that are coming up are some really interesting, cool stuff. So Drupal South is happening this weekend. So if you're not down in the area, in that region of the world, it's happening down in Wellington, New Zealand. Chances are you are not going to probably go at this point because you probably would have planned this ahead of time. But it is happening this weekend, and Emma Jane and John Albin Wilkins are going to be down there. Emma Jane is doing a keynote, and the two of them are doing a workshop on PSD to theme stuff. So if you are in the area or you are going, you should definitely check out the workshop and check out their sessions. And then after that, in March, we're going to be kind of a bunch of busy beavers. We're going to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. The Drupalize Me team is going to be there March 7th to 12th. If you know anything about South by Southwest, it's this huge multi-armed conference. I think of it as an octopus. There's Interactive, which is sort of like the web stuff that we're involved with. And then there's also a huge music festival, which is actually how it started. But we are actually going to have a table in the exhibition hall. So if you are at South By, stop by and see us. It would be awesome to chat with some other folks. And then directly after that, there's N10, which is a nonprofit technology network. And that's happening later that week, which is March 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. And so we'll have Andrew Wilson is actually going to be there. So he's going directly from South By to N10. He's got a long week ahead of him that week, but we will be around. And so if you are at any of those events, stop by, say hey. Cool. All right. We got that taken care of. We're good. Let's get to the meat of the matter. And let's talk about object-oriented PHP, or OOP, which of course makes me want to start rapping. So, I don't know. It's like OOP, like, you know? Like,
I always read it object-orientated PHP. I always get it mixed up.
Orientated, oriented?
Yeah.
Oh, see, there's like, oh, okay.
Let's call it OOP.
OOP. Yes. For this podcast, we will call it OOP. Now that makes me think of Alley Oop. Do you guys know Alley Oop? It's a cartoon from like way back, like when I was growing up as a kid. It's like some caveman. Yeah, it's like an American caveman cartoon called Alley Oop.
I think we're missing some cultural reference here.
Yeah.
Dang. All right. I'll have to share it with you guys at some point. All right. All right. So anyway, Oop, OOP, object-oriented, PHP. The biggest question to get this thing started here is, what is that? What is object-oriented PHP? Like, I thought PHP was PHP. What is this thing?
Okay, so PHP still is PHP. Object-oriented programming is a reason to use big words with the PHP that you already know. No, it's... object-oriented PHP is a way of doing more modular, more reusable approaches in PHP. So, like, in Drupal, it has, in the past, being quite function-based. So you write a function, and the function does a thing, and anytime you want to do the thing, you call the function. In object-oriented programming, we can kind of get beyond that, and we can say, well, I want to do something which behaves kind of the same most of the time, but there's something special about this one, so it's mostly the same, but something's different. And we can make these objects, and objects have data inside them, a bit like an array, and they have methods inside them, much like functions. So this we use this big word encapsulation, and just the idea is that you keep all of your variables and all of your related functionality together in this object, and you can make new objects anytime you need to. And they can kind of be related to each other. So if they're similar but a bit different, we don't need to make another function that looks kind of the same. We make a new class, make an object from it. So it's about reusable and maintainable code. And the code inside those methods is not different. Everything you know about PHP is still there.
So it's more of like an organizational-ish kind of thing-ish?
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. It allows us to implement things like design patterns and architectural ideas to kind of, it's a big picture thing. So when you're solving a problem in a loop, that's not going anywhere. You will still be writing more or less the same code, but your system will be made of objects that have awareness of each other. And hopefully over time, those will be testable and you can pass them around. So they're quite independent and quite self-contained.
Cool. So we do have in like sort of current versions, Drupal 6, Drupal 7, the currently supported versions of Drupal, we have some objects. I mean, we're not really using object-oriented code, at least not in core, because we have a couple of objects, like we have our user object and our node object, and there are properties of it. But, you know, for me, so I learned PHP just from Drupal. And I learned, it took me a while to figure out what an array was. Like, I think I used arrays for probably a year before I understood what they were. And to me, an object was simply an array that had, you know, a different symbol to indicate what I wanted to get to inside of it.
Yeah, so I immediately made that comparison between the objects and the arrays, because the objects have data in too, right? So they just look like an array. And you can store your variables in there. But the next step is that your arrays, which are now objects, have some functions attached to them. We call them methods because it's all about big words.
Right, of course.
but they're functions.
Cool. So basically, yeah, so you basically have this thing that has a whole bunch of properties and methods, which are functions. So it's not just storing variables, essentially, but it's also storing functions that can act on those variables.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That makes complete sense.
Cool. So how does this or do you have a sense of? How does this change what's going to happen with Drupal developers, with Drupal 8 being actually like object-oriented versus what we've had in the past, which is essentially procedural PHP with, I don't know, some random objects that have been tossed in there? What is that? Like, you know, it sounds a little scary to folks who've not encountered this before.
It's scary because it's quite pervasive. So you'll find that the places that you know, that where you keep things, those will change. Because instead of having all these hook points which call functions, we'll be now relying on passing in an object that will perform its function when it's told to. So we're just packaging up that code in a much more tidy way, and it will all be quite independent. Remember also that objects in PHP can be auto-loaded, so we don't have to pass all of the code until we need it. It's like, oh, you need the pink stripes form object. I'll just quickly pass and load that for you. Okay, here it is, and we can then carry on and use that code. So on a very large code base, it's still pretty efficient in the way that it uses PHP. And I think you'll see that once you get your head around the change, and it is quite a big change, I don't do a lot of Drupal, so I can't be specific about it. Mm-hmm. But other applications that I have seen coming from a functional approach over into a more object-oriented approach, kind of the initial layer of directories change and the place that you look for the code changes. Mm. But honestly, your skills are mostly transferable. The details don't change that much.
Cool. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, people talk about, you know, Drupal 8's coming out and it's going to be really hard to learn. But at the end of the day, if you jumped into Drupal 7, you've still got this huge API that you'd have to learn anyway. And it's just another way of doing things. It's a much cleaner and more efficient way of doing things. So if you're jumping into Drupal 8 and you haven't seen Drupal before, it might actually be easier for you to learn Drupal. Of course, getting deep into core and into the Symfony 2 components and stuff like that, that's going to be a lot harder than some of the stuff that's in core now. But it's just a much tidier way of doing everything. And I think it's just going to be a big plus for everything in Drupal. And people are going on about it being a huge learning curve. But at the end of the day, I think it's actually quite late that we're going into OOP, and I'm delighted to see OOP coming into Drupal 8. It's going to be cool.
So, right. So, like, so you're saying, so Joe's saying, like, that we're kind of late coming to object-oriented PHP. What is the history of this with PHP? Because, of course, like, Drupal's been written in PHP for a really long time, and, you know, and it was written with the tools that PHP, you know, had or used or was at that time.
We've had some level of object-oriented support for 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a bit of a joke to start with. PHP's object support went worthy of that description in 5.0. And it went awesome in about, I would say, 5.2, 5.3. We started getting some really, really good object-oriented features. PHP got namespaces in 5.3, and a bunch of the SPL libraries came in. Some really good features in there. We got the datetime extension was finished in 5.3. That's object-oriented. The PDO stuff, the way that we talk to databases, was also really mature by then. So until about 5.2, 5.3... I guess people on earlier platforms didn't necessarily adopt the object-oriented ideas. Mm-hmm. I now see virtually nothing that isn't object-oriented. I can't remember the last time I worked with a non-OO project.
Right, so yeah, we're a little late to the party. When did 5.3 come out?
I'm going to say 2006. 5.3 is end of life.
A while away, yeah.
Hey, 5.3 is end of life, and Drupal 8 is requiring 5.3. And it's awkward because Drupal has such a massive user base, and to upgrade between versions, if you are Drupal, is non-trivial, right? Your core guys are amazing. That whole, you know, all of those teams, all of the different extensions, there's so much to do. And because you are not necessarily a community that lives for the new shiny, that has to have the newest version of PHP all the time, and because the PHP releases are much, much faster these days than they used to be, I think in version terms, you've been a little bit left behind. When you move to 5.3, you probably go object-oriented. In kind of chronology terms, I would say Drupal probably is a late adopter, but by being such a late adopter, you know, you're taking advantage of the Symfony 2 stuff, which has matured. Really, you know, it hasn't changed a lot in the last couple of years, but it was not so widely built upon. The advent of Composer in PHP and this idea of using lots of other people's dependencies actually has only been around a couple of years. So I don't know. We are where we are, and I just think it's the right time for Drupal.
Cool. Well, so let's talk. So we've mentioned Symfony, Symfony 2 specifically for Drupal 8 a couple times now. So does someone want to take a shot at what is Symfony 2 and like how does that relate to what we're talking about here at all?
Right. So Symfony 2 is a full stack PHP framework. And that full stack means it offers you everything you're going to need. It's very comprehensive. And it will have everything that you need to make any application in Symfony 2. However, the 2 is the key here, because particularly with Symfony 2, when they made that version of the framework, they really focused on making their system out of modular, reusable pieces. And these modular, reusable pieces are designed to just do one thing and one thing really, really well. So it's just like the command line tools, which just do one thing. And they're awesome at that thing, but they're not a Swiss Army knife. So you can separate out that one thing and use it in your own applications. Symfony 2 is exactly that kind of ethos. So they did that, and we all said that was lovely. And then we started to see those Symfony 2 modules popping up, becoming dependencies for completely unrelated non-Symfony projects. So if you install, for example, PHP Documenter, you'll find that it depends on some stuff, which depends on some stuff, which has Symfony 2 modules in it. So we're really starting to cross-pollinate and get off our islands, to borrow a Drupal metaphor, and start to share those ideas around. And I think that's where the Symfony 2 components in Drupal 8 is really good news.
So yeah, so we have Symfony 2 components, but we don't, like, Drupal 8 is not built entirely on the Symfony 2 framework, right? Like, we didn't recreate the Drupal CMS on Symfony 2. So, and I don't know, I do not know this, and I do not know if either of the two of you know this, but do you have a sense of, like, how much of Drupal 8 is using Symfony components? Like, is it just like a couple of them? Are there a lot of them?
I think it's a handful of them, and it's a lot of the stuff that's at the quite the foundation level. So things like the HTTP kernel or routing, you know, the whole menu thing. We've taken over Twig, which is a template engine, which is also used in Symfony, and things like dependency injection that's used inside Symfony. And what else am I missing? There are others. There are quite a few. I think caching, they've taken cache from over from Symfony 2. But yeah, they didn't take everything. So they just kind of nitpicked the things that they want for the foundation. And then they've kept a lot of the code from Drupal 7, a lot more than I expected them to. And they've rewritten quite a bit of that to work with these new components that are at the foundation level. So unless you're writing a really, you know, complicated module, you're never really going to see all of these components, and you're never going to have a chance to actually work with them unless you start to look at some of these core modules.
Interesting. Well, and I'm curious, Joe, because I know that you've been poking around and looking at Drupal 8. What, like, in terms of, like, if I was a module developer and I was going to write a module, like, do I need to know Symfony 2? Or do I just need to, you know, I mean, with every version of Drupal, right, we always break our API, backwards compatibility. Like, we always update the API and say, oh, this is how we do it now. And so for every version of Drupal, you always have to learn some new ways of doing a thing. Like, you know, we'll just completely change how the menu routing works, and then you just, this is how you do it now. Is that all, essentially, all you need? Or is there, like, this, like, oh, God, now I have to understand a completely different external framework as well?
Yeah, well, you're definitely going to have to learn OOP for a start. Everything you write in a custom module now is object-oriented. And you're going to learn, you need to learn things like dependency injection, some of these basic concepts that have been used in Drupal 8. So when you're writing a module, yeah, you're looking at completely rewriting stuff that you've done in any other version of Drupal before. It's completely starting afresh. The file types are different. The way you structure the folders and where those files go is completely different now. So there definitely is a big learning curve for any developer looking into to porting anything that they've done from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8.
Okay, cool. But you don't need to necessarily know the guts of Symfony too.
Right, exactly.
Right, it's just you, there's basically what we're saying is you need to up your skills a little bit in the big picture. I mean, and like, so this is like a broader question. So like Lorna Jane has said, I don't even see stuff that doesn't use object oriented anymore, right? Like, you know, and so in the big picture of like the world and the coding world out there, like object-oriented is sort of, I mean, that's the, I'm assuming the standard, like the way that people assume things are going to be done. Mm. And so I guess, like, is this essentially just saying, you know, just level up, like learn the newest, greatest, latest, you know, technology and techniques and concepts and methodologies, because this is how the world codes now. Does that?
Yeah, definitely. If you look at, say, 5 years from now, I mean, that's a random number, but in the near future, it's going to get to a point where if you don't know OOP, then you're going to find it hard in a professional career to keep up, I think, because things like all the open source CMSs, WordPress, Drupal, they're all going down this route. And even JavaScript, I mean, there's like a whole ton of OOP frameworks for that now as well. So, yeah. In the near future, it's going to become the norm, if it hasn't already, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe just made my point there. I think, especially with JavaScript, which is basically object-oriented, right? So the thing about Drupal developers, this is a secret, but I'm going to tell your podcast listeners anyway. the thing about Drupal developers is they think that they're Drupal developers, and they're just not. They're actually really good web developers. And so a lot of them will have a lot of JavaScript skills, and that is very object-based and also very event-driven, very callback-based. So PHP 5.3 has anonymous functions. That's amazing. You will see them in Drupal, but most web developers are familiar with them because we write JavaScript. And on the PHP side, yes, I think object-oriented programming is going nowhere, and I think it is the best way to do it. However, Drupal developers, I have taught object-oriented programming to a few different Drupal developers, and they tend to be like, this is a new concept, and you explain to them how the concept works, and maybe work some examples, read about the topic, and then it's like, okay, so I'm going to apply my PHP skills that I'm going to call Drupal skills to this new thing, and it's going to be fine. So I mostly find that Drupal developers are up to it, even though sometimes it can seem like, whoa, that's far out. It's not as far beyond your abilities as you think.
So you're right. And so related to that, in terms of like, so you've done, you know, training, I think the biggest thing, like I remember, I mean, outside of just Drupal 8, my first exposure to just object-oriented, the word, and then, like, you know, this concept, like, I resisted it on principle or something. Like, I'm not a hardcore developer by far. And so for me, it was just like, I know how to get the job done, and now someone's changing how I get the job done. And I really resisted it. But as I, like, honestly, as I got into it, because I had to. So views, if you are doing any coding with the views module, custom code with views module in Drupal 7, you are doing object-oriented programming, because that's how it's written. Views is object-oriented. And that's where I first really encountered it and had to figure it out. And I was like, oh, now I got to do this OO thing. But I found, you know, it was really a matter of, it was really no different than how I learned everything else I learned in Drupal, which is go see how somebody else was doing it somewhere else, copy and paste that, make a few changes, you know, and then like eventually sort of figure out how the pieces go together. And I guess,
yeah, okay. I think you could go a long way. Like you say, it looks like an array to start with and it's different notation. And you just, you come into it and you drip feed yourself the knowledge that you need to get the job done. And I think particularly because we've sort of said Drupal's a late adopter here. I'm not sure I necessarily agree. Like I say, I think it's moving to 5.3, that's the right time. And it's not bleeding edge. That's not who you are.
No.
But I think the resources are out there now. There are good PHP OOP resources that will just level up your existing Drupal and hiding PHP skills and allow you to do cool things with even the OOP stuff.
So what, yeah, so like in terms of resources and like figuring out just OOP, I mean, there's, you know, Drupal 8 and the community's working on documentation. We know this is going to be, you know, a big thing. And we're as a community, trying to pull that together and smooth that road. But it's not just a Drupal thing, right? So, like, do either of you have resources for just figuring out what object-oriented stuff is and just sort of getting your toe wet in the concepts even?
I noticed the other day that the new Code Academy PHP track, I've used Code Academy to learn Python because I already know PHP, right? And it gives you an editor in the browser, so it just runs your code. You don't need to set stuff up, and it gives you little exercises to try. The Code Academy track for PHP has some quite introductory but good place to start object-oriented modules. So that might be a really nice, really kind of practical way to just go and play. So I would totally recommend that. If it's anything like their Python, you know, I've heard really good things about Code Academy, so that would be worth a look. There's a couple of books that I would recommend as well. One of them's online. It's called PHP the Right Way. And we'll try and get the link, I guess, in the show notes. And also the... I'm going to plug my own book because I wrote the OOP chapter for the PHP master text from SitePoint.
Nice.
And there's an OOP chapter in there and other chapters that are all awesome, and I had co-authors, so that it's all marvelous. But that is the things that I would tell you about how to program OOP in raw PHP. Without any Drupal, without any stuff, it's just the basic concepts with some code examples in PHP Master. So even though that's self-promotion, these are the things I would tell you. So I'm going to recommend that.
For me, I don't have any specific resources, but I would just say if anybody's looking to do something like create a mobile app or start to learn Node.js or any of these other technologies out there, what you probably don't realize is that they're all OOP too. And with OOP, if you just get the concepts down, it's very transferable. The syntax is obviously different, but it's not that different. If you compare an object written in C# and PHP, you can actually just, you know, say, oh, there's a curly bracket here and a colon here or whatever, and that's the main differences. So if you can just get the concepts down, no matter what you're doing, it's very transferable.
I wonder, there must be, I would bet money, but it would be really interesting to see if there's a JavaScript to PHP translation, you know, like site out there that's like, okay, so you know JavaScript, you use it every day. This thing, that's what this is in PHP.
Maybe they should add it to Google Translate or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how awesome would that be to like C++ paste some code into Google and have it translate it to another language for you?
Oh my God. New business plan. Oh my God.
Shh, shh, don't tell anybody. Shh.
Edit that out, Kyle.
Awesome. Yeah. So I guess, for me, the takeaway is object-oriented is kind of the way that people should be coding because it's better. and I think it's a really good opportunity for us that Drupal's moving there because, like, again, for me, like, my world has been mostly concerned with Drupal coding. Like, I consider myself a Drupal developer and not as much a PHP developer just because of how I was introduced to all of it and what I've done. But if you're going to try and do anything outside of Drupal in particular, understanding object-oriented stuff is really important because that is how things are moving. And it actually is really useful once you understand it. I mean, really, trust me, I'm one of those like, well, it works this way. Why do I have to do something a different way? I can be really stubborn about that kind of a thing. And it just wrapping my head around the basic concepts of it, once you get those concepts, it's like, oh, I mean, it's the same thing as an array, right? It took me forever to understand what an array was. I hated PHP.
We all have those days.
Right? Yes. But the thing is, like, that's not even a PHP thing, right? Like, that's just a concept that I couldn't wrap my head around for whatever reason, right? So anyway, for me, that's the kind of the takeaway, is that this is actually a really, really awesome thing and not as scary. There are a lot of resources to help you.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say the same. I mean, it's fun. When you get the concepts down, it is genuinely fun to use OOP as opposed to what you've been using in Drupal 6 and 7. Your files, they come down a lot in size because everything's so, you know, separated. And it's a lot more manageable, there's a lot less headaches, and it's very easy to debug where problems are going wrong. So when you do get past that initial learning curve, you're going to become a much better programmer and overall much more enjoyable when you're doing Drupal 8.
That should be Drupal 8's tagline. Drupal 8, fewer headaches.
I'll buy two, thank you very much. Awesome. Well, we should probably wrap things up, but this has been a great conversation. Do either of you have any things that we didn't talk about that you wanted to make sure you got in there, or any parting thoughts?
Oh, I think we covered everything that I had on my hit list, really, that I wanted to share, just about how transferable Drupal's skills are already. If you're a Drupal developer, you know, open your mind, and you will probably need to do some research, but it is only a Drupal version upgrade with some bigger words attached this time around. So, and that's my perspective. Everybody's mileage will vary, but I think it's the right thing. And from the outside, I'm really happy to see Drupal making this move.
Yeah, I'm totally delighted about everything that the Drupal community is doing for getting this in the next version. And I would just say, don't worry, just, you know, enjoy it while it, you know, while it's going through its infant stages. Try to pick up what you can, but yeah, it's good, and there will be loads of people out there to help you, so enjoy it.
Yeah, like take lots of baby pictures and, you know, baby's first steps. Well, thank you both for your time. This has been a really good conversation. Certainly makes me feel, I always feel a little insecure, frankly, you know, because I'm not, like, I was never really a developer, but I ended up doing development because I needed to, and then I sort of figured things out, and then I always sort of feel like I'm not sure what's going on. And so it's, and object-oriented really scared me, and so it's good to hear that it's not just, you know, this horrible thing that's been a scourge upon the land that's been sent out after us or something, you know? it's actually good and useful, and it, getting there is not that difficult, really. I know people may have differing opinions. That's fine. You can leave your opinions in the podcast notes. We're cool. I like to hear opinion. We're all about it. But we're all thumbs up over here at Drupal as me, just saying. Cool. Well, yeah, thank you both very much for your time. And I hope that our listeners have gotten something useful out of that. And if you do have thoughts or comments, you can leave a comment, obviously, on the podcast. But if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can always contact us through, like, Twitter or Facebook or our contact form. So Drupalize.me, Facebook.com/DrupalizeMe, or Drupalize.me/contact is our, and that'll just send an email to our team. And you can share your thoughts. You can also share ideas for other stuff you want to hear. If you want to hear more about this stuff or get into more detail, let us know. We don't know if we don't know, right? Cool. Well, yeah, until next time, enjoy. Everybody ponder on OOP. And until next time, happy Drupaling. See ya.